Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
My goodness, I just love Israel. You know, in the midst of this tragedy and what's going on in Syria, where you have over 100,000 people that have been killed.
100,000.
Thousand. The whole country is like a war zone. Just last week.
For those that know, by the way, that's what the country that touches the northern border of Israel.
Yeah.
That's how close it is.
Yeah. You know, and just last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that the Syrians were moving their chemical weapons all to 50 sites all over their country. And you look at, there's been over 2 million people that have fled that country. Right now, what Israel's doing, and this just, I mean, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Those that have gotten hurt, civilians, these are citizens, have gotten hurt in the midst of crossfire, in the midst of in this war, somehow they're getting over to the northern border of Israel, and the military, the Israeli military is bringing them in, mm-hmm. and they're being treated in their hospitals. This is children.
Wow.
There's so much suffering. I was thinking about this as I was coming into. There's so much suffering. It's like, Lord, forgive us. It just goes so perfect with what we talked about in the first hour, to whom much is given, much is required. I don't think we have a true grid in this country about suffering. How can we really connect that word with us when you look at so many people that are just going through so many things?
Mm-hmm.
And you, these are folks that have been hurt in Syria. I mean, and they come to Israel terrified. They need mm-hmm. medical treatment, but they come terrified because they don't want anyone from Syria to find out that they're there.
Right.
Because Islam.
Yeah.
The people who listen and pay attention to what Muhammad wrote
mm-hmm.
was that you're supposed to destroy Israel and push them into the sea.
Right.
So this is not like they don't like you.
Right.
This is what they've been hearing every day or throughout in their mosques from those that are speaking to them, was that these are the Jews, the mm-hmm. heathen, the
infidels.
And we're supposed to push them into the sea. And in the Quran, it says very specifically that even the rocks will say, hey, come and get me. There's a Jew under here. Take him out.
And here, quote unquote, the infidel is helping them, bandaging their wounds. And the children are caught
in
between.
It's obviously not an infidel. It's the opposite. It's like the lie that we talked about. So it's like, oh, wait a minute. That means the Jews are God's people.
Exactly.
That's what that means. It means that, oh, my goodness, I get it now.
Exactly.
That's baby breath.
Yes.
This is... The Jews are God's chosen people. That's why. And they're helping, just like God would, they're helping the Syrian victims.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I want you to listen to CBN as they report more about this.
Well, Syria's two-year civil war has killed more than 110,000 people and forced as many as 2 million to flee the country. A small number of those badly wounded are seeking help in Israel. Chris Mitchell brings us that story.
This young Syrian man came to an Israeli hospital after a blast caused massive head wounds. He's one of about 150 who have mysteriously crossed the Syrian border into enemy territory for life-saving medical treatment.
Love your enemies. We have a tragedy in Syria, and hundreds and thousands of people, they have no houses, they are injured, they suffer from cold, from pain, and who take care for them.
Dr. Masad Barhoum, a Christian Arab, leads the Western Galilee Hospital in Nahariya near the Lebanese border. They've taken in about 70 Syrians.
I still remember the first one who came to our hospital, major injury in his head from blast trauma, and after 10 days, he was walking.
The 54-mile border between Israel and Syria stretches from Mount Hermon through the Golan Heights. How did the wounded cross? Only the Israeli army knows, and they're not telling. The hospital simply receives a call from the army that they're bringing wounded Syrians.
It's typical war injuries, including shrapnel wounds, including bullets, including blast injuries.
Current Syrian patients were afraid to go on camera. Most are men, but 8 children have been treated, including this 3-year-old girl who came alone and unconscious with severe burns to her face.
And she woke up, and she had nobody around. So she was just crying because she was afraid and alone.
Doctors say the Syrians probably would have died without the Israeli care, and the trauma goes beyond their physical wounds.
They are so afraid, so troubled from waking up in an enemy place, in a place they don't know the language.
About half the hospital staff speaks Arabic, and Bahum says that and the love they're shown helps the Syrians calm down.
Just to come, say, be calm, I love you, I'm going to help you. And they have a small smile. They make me my day.
And when a patient is well enough, the Israeli army takes him back to the border. Even though the number is small, Barhum says he and his staff are grateful for the opportunity to help the suffering Syrians. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Nahariya, Israel.
Wow.
Be calm. Mm. I love you. I'm going to help you. Yeah. That's the God that we serve.
Wow. That's the God that we serve.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my goodness.
We need to wake up. This is not stuff that the traditional media is reporting and sharing, but this is Israel showing the love of God. You know, my 3-year-old daughter last night had a fever, and my heart just melted for her. She had a fever, high fever, extremely hot. It broke, thank God.
Praise God.
But yeah, you see this 3-year-old girl who shows up, her alone, scared, burnt. Terrified, burnt, and to know that Israelis were there to help them. Listen, God loves mankind. He loves everyone. And it's us being able to show the love of God. And I love what he says, said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. That's what God tells us.
And you think about it, that, you know, waiters and waitresses, you know, which we appreciate, and but quite often it's like, well, I'm only going to pay attention to the tables that are going to tip me. And the church has kind of taken on that mindset that if you will follow Jesus, if you will show up at my, quote, church, unquote, then I will be kind to you. But Jesus showed us his heart, God's heart, when he said, when the rich young ruler shows up and he says, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus tells him, you know, nails him in regards to where he was in his life and revealed to him what he needed to do, because that was what his God. He had to give up his God, which was for him was money. And he goes, this is really tough. And he walked away sad because he wasn't going to give up. He didn't want to give up his wealth. And this is what the Word of God says, and this is what Jesus said. He said, this says, when he's walking away, his back was turned on him, turned on God. It says, but Jesus loved him. You have to understand, people are deceived. They don't understand their Creator is God. They don't understand that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. The enemy has them captive, and we have to speak past the captivity and understand, even if they're caught up in a false religion that's anti-Jesus, that God loves Muslims. You know, even if their sin is not like your sin that God's forgiven you for, and you might be turned off by, and turned on by your own sin in your flesh, but turned off by their choice of sin that they fall to, God loves them, folks. He loves them as much as he loves you. And if you don't straighten up and start thinking, you know, the right way about that, then he'll demonstrate that to you.
Oh, yes.
And in Israel's, I mean, that's God. Because these children are going to go back up under their parents. And they have no idea how that's going to turn out. They have no idea. But they're patient. They're kind. I mean, they were persecuted. They were struck down. Many were destroyed, taken everything from them. I mean, Sears and Roebuck and all these companies we know today, by the way, it's like half, a tenth of the company it used to be. Ford, you know, different companies that was involved during those times of the persecution of the Jews, that they were making money off their labor. And in the context of that, they're still loving folks. They're still saying, let's get along. Let's have a peace meeting. Let's work this out. Let's talk with the people that want to push us in the sea. And that is a demonstration of a grace that only can come from God. It's not from a man's wisdom. And that's what God has done. God has blessed Israel because they're the apple of his eye. And he's showing himself. God, the creator of the universe, who sits in the center of everything totally created, loves you and has got a plan for your life. And he's demonstrating his love for mankind through Israel and supposed to be through the church, by the way, guys. We're supposed to be loving Israel and loving others and leading other people to love God and love others. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
And even loving them even when they walk away from us. Loving them when they accuse us and lie about us and twist what we do and all those different things. It's like, oh my goodness, love them through it. Love them through it, because there'll be a day that we stand before love himself. Did you know that God doesn't love, but he is love? God is love. He is love. He's not like something he does. It's something that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he says. If you say you love him, but you don't love your brother, he says, you know what he says? This is going to be a shocker. I know it's going to be a shocker, especially to 81% of you.
Mm-hmm.
That you're a liar. I'm saying it nicer. You're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a liar. You know, think about it. That's what he said, right? I'm just listening. Hey,
that's what is it?
That's what was translated when it broke loose from the Catholic Church back in 1611. He came through.
That's it.
You find the original text. I just read it. Was translated.
Wycliffe
and Tyndale and the Puritans and John Calvin and all those. But I'm telling you, he said you're a liar, because this is why he said that. I mean, this is what it says next. I can't tell you why in the context of it, but I can say. He said, because if you can't love a man that you can see, if you can't love your brother that you can see, there's no way that you can love God that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
See, what happens is people create their own God, and they have a designer God. I mean, it's been happening since mankind. They've carved it out of stone. They carve it out of stuff. They carve it out of imaginations, and they just say, this is my God, and they bow down to it. And they say, this is my God, and they describe God to you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, that's Muhammad's God. That's not Jesus's father. You know what I'm saying? Right. Or, you know, that's Buddha's God. I mean, that's mm-hmm. not, you know, that's not, or that's another Jesus. That's not the same Jesus that, if you read, you know, oh, you're the 81% that don't read. Let me tell you, read the Bible.
Right.
I can't go there. Chris and I, anyway, we were having fun about it. They don't read, and we waited. Oh, anyway, so. And, understand that he says that you can't, if you don't do what we just saw, and you can see this on the VFN torch, what John just talked about, you can see these poor child with chemical weapons that peeled her face, that could not even speak Hebrew, was probably speaking Farsi, that came there, and you imagine you're in this pain, you're brought into this land, I mean, your child, don't matter, even if you speak the same language, children are terrified at the doctor's office. And he says these words, and this is what God would say to you, no matter, even if you hate him, this is what he will tell you. And if you walk away from him, this is what he will tell you. Even though you're making a choice to walk into the pits of hell by choice, he still would say, be calm. I love you. I want to help you. I've laid down my life for you. I'll forgive you. I paid for your sins. God loves you so much that he gave me Jesus as a sacrifice for you. And I love the Father so much, and I love you so much that I was willing to lay my life down for you. Because all this evilness that we're talking about, you're right, it is evil. And it had to be dealt with. But Jesus would tell you, I took all that on. I took Al-Qaeda on. I took Islamic beliefs on. I took Muhammad on. I took all this crazy stuff going on. I took all the evil bullies and the robbers and the murderers and all the sin. I took all the sin of the world on. And the price that was due, each individual, including you, I let the blows of that hit me. So that it wouldn't have to hit you. I let my own father, while I was being voluntarily, by my own choice, sacrificed on a cross publicly in Jerusalem for the whole world, for your sins, I let my own father pay the price, sacrifice. He hit me for you. I was struck by my Father who I love, Father God, and I allowed it because sin had to be disciplined. And my Father who never turned away from me ever, 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 ever in all eternity had to turn his face because I had your sin on me. but I was paying the price for you. And then once I passed on the cross, they buried my body in the grave for 3 days. And I went down to a place that every man was destined to outside of this, what I'm telling you about, hell, the flames of hell. And I took the keys. I took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Ho! And on the third day, once me and my Father, God, once Jesus and God had resolved and dealt with the very thing that separated us from him, he rose him from the dead. Suddenly this Jesus, the Son of God that did all that for us, was dead, and all of a sudden now, guess what? He's alive. He's alive. I've been to the tomb. I've been there. Pat and I have been there. We've been there. And we went and we looked where he laid. And guess what? He's not there anymore. And you know what's written on the door? He has risen. He's risen from the dead. I mean, think about this. And to get to drive this reality home of the creator of the universe, to drive this love of God home to mankind, he walked amongst us. He walked amongst mankind. And it was such an awesome encounter when he was raised from the dead that holy men began to break out of their graves. People began to crawl out of their tombs that had been dead, and they were looking at these holy men. It's like, holy, holy, my goodness, what's happening? Listen, if we only have hope for this life alone, Paul said, writer over half of the New Testament, under the unction of the Spirit of God, that we should be pitied more than anyone else. Than anyone else. But we have the hope of eternal life. This life is a vapor. And what happened after he walked for a few days on the face of the earth and in the resurrection of the dead, he was the first to be raised from the dead. Then others begin to be raised from the dead to prove positive. Listen, that when we die, we will no longer be in the grave, but we'll be risen from the dead to be standing absent from this body is to be present with God. That's what he was showing. And suddenly when his disciples were watching and talking with him, to be able to paint this home, like the creator of the universe who sits in the center of all creation is just driving this home, this is what he does. Okay, listen, son. Mm-hmm. Yes, Father. Mm-hmm. This is God and Jesus. I'm going to move you real slow. I'm going to begin to lift you up like an inch off the ground. And so they're watching you. And then I'm going to lift you a little bit more. And a little bit more, they're going to get the idea. Okay, it doesn't look like he's going to be here. He's going to be leaving. Then he moves a little mm-hmm. bit higher, a little bit higher. I mean, God created us. He knows us, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he lifts us higher, and he lifts us higher. We first had to see him walk. We had to see him born. We had to see him live a sinless life. We had to see him die on the cross. We had to see him buried in the grave. We had to see that he was risen from the grave. And now we had to see this very important thing, that now he was ascending off the earth, and he was going slowly enough for them to look up. He's literally going in the air. He's going in the air. Jesus, the Son of God. By the way, this is why Satan hates Jesus so much, because he's the real God, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. he loves, you know. And so he's going up, and all of a sudden you can imagine it just kind of fades with the natural eye. And, of course, the disciples are probably looking up going, where are you going, Jesus? you know, because they were expecting him to start a natural kingdom mm-hmm. here, and it unfolded. And this is what happened. Messengers of God appeared in the sky. Angels who stand in the presence of God showed up in the place where they saw Jesus disappear. Mm. And this is what they said. Why are you looking up here? Why are you looking? Why? This same Jesus, this loving, caring, dying for your sins, taking on the sin of the world, Jesus, the Son of God, who willingly allowed his Father to turn his face from him for the first time ever and the last time ever in the history of what we would ever know, is coming back again. He's coming back for his church, for those who said yes to him. I mean, why would you not say yes to a loving God like this, that even loved us when we were walking in sin? While we were still in sin, he paid this price for us. And even at times when we walked away from him, he still loved us like the rich young ruler. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Don't believe this dark times, this dark age. Listen, it is time for you to shine. It is time for you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Listen, he's demonstrated his love for you. And how you'll know you love him is when you begin to love people, when you begin to lay down your life for people. You can have all this religious experience you want to, but if you treat people with hate and malice and discontent and bitterness, you are partnering with the devil, because Jesus loves them and he's got a plan for their life, and he gave his life for the very one that you're criticizing and that you're coming against. Listen, if you haven't yet made a choice to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, now is your time. We shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. It's meetmyfather.org.